Welcome to worship at College Park. We are so excited that you are here today. Just a few announcements we'll make as we get started. We would like to find out who is here. And the way we do that, there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. If you could take this pew pad, give us your name, contact information, and check the appropriate boxes. That lets us know a little bit about you. Once you're done, send it down so everybody has a chance to fill that out on your pew. Once it gets to that last person, when you're done, if you could send it back to where it got started this morning, we do ask that first person, when it comes back to you, if you could tear out the pages that were used today. Our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for that. Not many announcements other than today we're having, obviously, a little bit different schedule. We are in here at 9 o'clock, and a couple things that are happening, we are commissioning the mission team that is going to Grifton. We'll be doing that a little bit later in the service. Also, we'll be traveling outside to the new to where the new gym will be built, and we'll have a time of groundbreaking celebration. And so we want you to just note that those things are coming. Now, the schedule is listed there, opportunities for the week, with many people gone to Grifton and being July 4th, there's not a whole lot of things that are happening, but they are listed there for you anyway. Any other announcements? Any announcements? All right. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We appreciate you being here today especially. We appreciate the information you just gave us on that pew pad, but we'd like to give something to you. If you're a guest, our ushers are coming down the aisles now. If you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are. Our ushers are coming now. They would like to give something to you. Just raise your hand. They'll give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our congregation. Also, you'll find a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church and a little bit of the history of College Park. So thank you for your presence today. Sometimes I think we build our lives so much on schedules and to-do lists, and everything has to be done in this order and this order. And I believe that our God is a God of order, but sometimes His order is not exactly like our order. And the way that He does things does not always make sense to us. This morning, we're a little bit out of order. It's a little different. And I believe God has something in this service for you and for me. And so my prayer is, as we prepare for worship, that no matter what else is going on around us, no matter because it's a different schedule, let's not miss what God has for us this morning. Let us prepare for worship. Pray with me. Our Father, on this amazing Sunday morning, we are overwhelmed by your presence and the gift of your love. And Father, for the freedom that we celebrate in Christ this morning, we thank you. For only through this freedom are we allowed to be in your presence. Because those who freely call on the name of Christ are allowed to come and to be with you. And so we come to worship, with everything that we have and everything that we are. May you be glorified in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm filling in for my son, Charlie. He asked me a week ago if I'd cover his prayer for him today. And I'm thankful to be here. And I'm very thankful for the generosity of our people. Our number, as I know of it on Friday afternoon, was $22,500. So you people have done a marvelous job. Now, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this day. We want to thank you for this church. We want to thank you for the opportunity to gather here as a body to worship you. Lord, we are thankful for the monies that people share from their income. And we ask you, Lord, to be with us as we prepare to build a home for a family in need. For the many blessings you've given us, Lord, we're eternally thankful. Amen.
Luke chapter 4, there is a few verses that have always fascinated me a little bit. They come right after the temptation of Jesus, and we all are familiar with that passage of Scripture and what is included in the temptation. But in Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 14, are some verses that I want to spend just a couple of minutes on this morning. And it reads like this: Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. That phrase in there, "he went to the synagogue as was his custom," always catches my eye. In the New Living Translation, it reads, "he went up as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath." In the New King James, it says, "and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read." The New American Standard, which is a little bit more literal, follows kind of in the track of the NIV, and it says, "and as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath." And you say, "well, Raymond, what's such big deal about that little verse in Scripture?" Well, understand about synagogues. The first synagogues, they think, were probably built when the Jews were in captivity in Babylon. That would have been the 6th century B.C. And synagogues continued from that point forward to be very important in their religious and social aspects in the life of the Jewish community, leading on into the time of Jesus. The original Greek word for synagogue merely means a place of meeting. A place of meeting where we get together. And in the Jewish world, synagogues were second only to the temple in Jerusalem in terms of their importance in their religious life. They served as a place where you could learn. It was kind of the center of religious education. It was a center of social and community life related to religious functions, and it was directed by a council of elders. Now, typically, a synagogue was a small structure that kind of stood on a rise above the rest of the neighboring houses. It was opposite of the entrance was a portable ark that contained scrolls of the law and the prophets. So you can begin to see really how important this was to their religious life. For public worship, which was conducted on the Sabbath day, they would come there, and a minimum of 10 adult males had to be in attendance for it. So it was a big deal. You know, although a rabbi might be recognized as the leader because of his distinguished teaching, there was really no official clergy like we think about it today. And it was not uncommon for any Jew who felt himself qualified to ask for permission to teach, to read and interpret. And that is exactly what is going on in this passage of Scripture. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. And he taught in the synagogue, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. So why does Luke put in this phrase, "as was his custom"? Because the people then would have known that that was his custom. You know, if he was so involved in the life of the synagogue, though, why don't we have more about his life in the synagogue? Think about it for just a minute. Why isn't the New Testament filled with stories about Jesus' life and Jewish mission friends? Why don't we have stories about his teachings? Why don't we have stories about him as a teenager running through the halls of the synagogue and other people telling him to slow down and be quiet? We don't have those stories anywhere in Scripture. Nowhere in Scripture do we have those. We don't have his teachings in the synagogue. We don't read a whole lot about his life in the synagogue except this verse, "as was his custom." Consider what we have instead. We do have his teachings, but they were done on a mountainside. They were done standing in a boat a few feet off of shore. They were taught on dusty roads. We have his teachings that were presented in the homes of social outcasts. We have his teachings that were presented outside the tomb of a dear friend who just passed away. You see, Jesus' sermons were taught through his actions. Jesus' sermons were taught through his parables that he exchanged, that he put out there as he went and as he interacted with people. The New Testament is filled with stories of how Jesus put his faith into action. It's my humble opinion that the world is still waiting to see that from us. They hear the noise. To them, it's noise. It's just chatter. They see Christians going to church on Sunday and Wednesday night and whenever else the doors are open. They see that, but they're still waiting to see what a difference it makes in their everyday life. You see, we do a great job of standing around in church talking about ministry. But I don't see that in Scripture. What I see is people who talk less and do more, who put their faith into action instead of just standing around talking about it. Now, don't misunderstand me. There is, Christian education is very important. At College Park, this church has always placed a premium on youth and children's ministry because we understand it's important to disciple. It's important for people to know the foundations of the faith. So don't misinterpret me. I'm not saying we don't need to do that. I'm saying once we do that, we need to put it into action. Quit talking, get busy. It's time we learned that those beyond this walls are in need. They need us to be Christ's hands and feet ministering in the community. And they're waiting to see the gospel in us. That's why we go to Greenville, Grifton, Winterville. That's why we go, to put our faith into action. That's why we step out in faith to build more tools for ministry to our community, to reach out, share the good news of Jesus Christ. And as we go this week, whether it be to Grifton, whether it be to your workplace, whether it be to the different social interactions that you will have this week, Our understanding should be that we go understanding what is at stake. That the gospel needs to be presented with words if necessary, but certainly by our actions. Our missions efforts must be filled with grace. It's interesting. I'm afraid that so many times we treat the world, we judge the world by law, but yet when we go before the throne of God, we want to be judged by grace. Have you ever thought about that? We judge non-believers, we judge the world with the law, but yet when we go before God, we want and we expect grace. And that's a picture that is very confusing to the world. And it greatly diminishes the impact that we can have for the cause of Christ. Jesus, if you read what is recorded in the New Testament, you will find that Jesus was a friend of sinners. He was then, and I'm grateful he still is now, amen? He's a friend of sinners because we are all saved by grace, not of works, lest any of us should be able to boast. We're saved by grace. And my prayer is for each one of us that this week we would truly be instruments of God's grace. Amen? Amen.
Jesus, friend of sinners, we have strayed so far away. We cut down people in your name, but the sword was never ours to swing. Jesus, friend of sinners, the truth's become so hard to see. The world is on their way to you, but they're tripping over me. Always looking around but never looking up. I'm so double-minded. A plank-eyed saint with dirty hands and a heart divided. Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, open our eyes to the world at the end of our pointing fingers. Let our hearts be led by mercy. Help us reach with open hearts and open doors. Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, break our hearts for what breaks yours. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Jesus, friend of sinners, who's writing in the sand, the righteous turn away, and the stones fall from their hands. Help us to remember, we are all the least of these. In the memory of your mercy, bring your people to the knees.
Nobody knows what we're for, only what we're against when we judge the wounded. What if we put down our signs, crossed over the lines of love like you did? Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, open our eyes to the world at the end of our pointing fingers. Let our hearts be led by mercy. Help us with open hearts and open doors. Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, break our hearts for what breaks yours. You love every lost cause. You reach for the outcast, for the leper and the lame. They're the reason that you came. I was that lost cause, and I was the outcast. But you died for sinners just like me, a grateful leper at your feet. 'Cause you are good, you are good, and your love endures forever. Sinners, break our hearts for what breaks yours. And I was that lost cause, and I was the outcast. He died for sinners just like me, a grateful leper at your feet.
He would now extend a challenge for us, and followed by his challenge, I want to ask all those who are going to be traveling with us to Grifton, if you would bring your insert and your bulletin with you and come and stand down here in the front facing the congregation following his challenge.
Good morning again. Thank you, Barbie. This is a tremendous opportunity for us to put our words into action, as Raymond referred to a while ago. Our challenge this morning is going to be Matthew 25, 35 through 45. And I want you to participate in that as I recite, paraphrase my version of that. I was hungry, and you gave me food, and you say, when did I do that? I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was sick, and you came unto me. I was in prison, and you visited me. I was homeless, and you built a home for me. And the Lord said, when you do that for the least of these, my brother, and you do it for me. So our challenge is to let this be our guideline as we work there in Winterville. I can guarantee you those that are going will have a life-changing experience. It really is something to see the people as they prepare to receive this home. So I hope we have a safe trip to and from and on the job. Thank you for those of you who are going. For those of you who haven't been, I challenge you now to start marking your calendar for next year and go with us. It will change your life.
I want to ask you as the congregation if you would respond. There should be an order of service, or excuse me, an insert in your order of service. Yes, sir. Can we do those after the prayer? Okay. We'll have many that will be going, and you see some of them here. Some have already begun the trek down to Grifton. So we pray also for them, for their safe travel, as well as these that will be going. And I invite you as a congregation to respond to the challenge that Roger has issued. If you would read with me the response of the congregation that is in the insert. Let's read together. We recognize that God gives us many kinds of special abilities, but it is the same Holy Spirit who is the source of them all. And we know that there are different kinds of service to God, but it is the same Lord we are serving. There are many ways in which God works in our lives, but it is the same God who does the work in and through all of us who are His. The Holy Spirit displays God's power through each of us as a means of helping the entire church. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. So on behalf of our Lord, We pledge to do our part by remaining here to pray for each of you. We will pray for our mission and your safety. And now from those who are participating, including all of those who have helped make preparations, let's read together. We acknowledge that all of us are the one body of Christ, and each one of us is a necessary part of it. Some of us have been the hands and feet that made preparations for this mission, and others will be the hands and feet going on behalf of the whole body to complete the work. Even as Christ gave his whole self for the church, we pledge now to give our all to serve him. We accept the challenge of this work and thank you in advance for your prayers. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we come with humble hearts and we ask that you would bless not our efforts, but your mission as you've given to us. Father, we know that we have much to do. The weather will be warm, to say the least. There will be many challenges. There'll be many personalities. But we pray now that you would attune our hearts to yours. Whether we be here praying for those that are going, whether we be going, we pray that our hearts would be right, that they would be in touch with you, so that whatever our role in this mission is, it would be completed with a sense of grace and mercy and compassion and peace. God, we love you. We confess that with our mouths. We pray that our actions would match up to what we say. We pray for those who have made preparations already, those in the town of Winterville, all the work that's been done for Billy and his people as they've worked to make preparations for us to come. We pray that we would honor you in our interaction with all people. Father, we pray that the family that will be blessed by a new home would be in turn a blessing to all those in that community. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen. Y'all may be seated for just a moment. Barbie has a couple announcements.
Two brief announcements. First of all, we have green shirts like Roger's wearing this year. We want everyone to wear those shirts on Monday. Youth, I think yours are going to be pulled out for you. But adults, we need you to get your shirts. You can wear the blue one from last year or the green one from this year. But we'd like for everybody to wear them on Monday because that marks us as who we are, as from College Park. There's also a waiver form, a College Park waiver form on the table out here. We didn't get that out until this week. So make sure before you leave the church you pick up a waiver. It says signature by parent. Adults, you sign your own. You don't have to have your mommy sign it for you. And my blonde hair is natural. I made a mistake. If we've publicized that the hotel is $65, I forgot about the $60. I forgot about the occupancy tax, so it's going to be $65. And just want you to know that. Thank you.
We'll now take a few minutes, and again, we want you to take your time, but move as quickly as possible. Is that enough? Take your time and move as quickly as possible. We'll have ushers that are stationed along the way to make sure that your path is smooth and non-eventful in the sense of we don't want anybody to trip or fall or anything, but we want to move now out to the outside. We'll only be out there about 3 or 4 minutes, okay? Believe it or not, we'll only be there about 3 or 4 minutes, but we want to have a time of groundbreaking. And I know it's warm out there, but we want you to come be a part of that. We're going to outline the building. We'll have groundbreaking, a prayer dedication out there. So we're dismissed from here, and you can go out at either of these doors and make your way to the children's playground area.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.